Well, this evening we're starting a new series on listening to God, looking at passages where God calls someone by name twice. And tonight we're looking at Abraham with the title of When Life Doesn't Make Sense. So I've got a question for you all to begin with. Does anyone know who this character is? I'm shocked. I am deeply shocked. I'm amazed. Does no one here watch Netflix? Obviously not, or you've not seen it. Anyone read Douglas Adams' books about Dirk Gently? Yes. I heard someone say yes. Oh, well done, Rachel, well done. So here's a memory test for the one and only person who knows Dirk Gently. What does Dirk Gently do? You can't remember. Dirk Gently is an holistic detective. And you may wonder, what is an holistic detective? Well, Dirk Gently solves mysteries, but he doesn't look for evidence. He doesn't interview suspects. Or he doesn't follow clues. None of the things that you normally associate with detectives does Dirk Gently do. He does none of these things. And yet, he always solves the mystery. And this is how Dirk Gently describes it. He says this: everything is connected. Nothing is also connected. And therefore, by going through a series of apparently random events, completely unconnected, by the time you get to the end of the book or the series, you discover that all these things are actually, in reality, connected, no matter how bizarre that connection might be. If you subscribe to Netflix and you have not seen it, you have to watch Series 1. It is excellent. That's the commercial over. At least for that, I'll move on to the next commercial now. Now, everything is connected, nothing is also connected, is a bit like the Bible. So here's the other commercial now. It's for reading your Bible. And the passage we're looking at tonight is from Genesis 22. And that is connected to this passage, Hebrews 11, which is when the writer to the Hebrews actually refers directly back to the passage we're going to look at tonight. And we'll come back to both of those a bit later. But the writer to the Hebrews says in chapter 11, he refers to a whole list of people from the Old Testament and explains that they were all justified by faith. And Abraham is one of those who is justified by faith. So this verse is connected to Ephesians chapter 2, which I'm sure you're all familiar with, even if you don't remember the numbers, where Paul writes, "By grace we have been saved through faith, and this is not our own doing. It is the gift of God, not because of anything we do, so that none of us can boast about our salvation." And of course, when we're talking about our faith, then of course that's connected to this verse, John 14, where Jesus says, as I'm sure you all know in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now that verse, you might have thought or wondered, or maybe not, what does it actually mean when Jesus says, "No one comes to the Father except through me"? Well, that's connected to Matthew 25, where Jesus actually talks about the day of judgment, where everyone's assembled on the great plain. And Jesus, who's been appointed by God the Father, is in judgment of everyone. And he divides people into like a shepherd does, he describes it, dividing sheep and goats. So actually, literally, when Jesus says, no one gets to the Father except through him, as he stands there on the day of judgment, literally, no one gets to God except through Jesus at that moment. Now, in this passage, there's a bit of consternation from the people who've been put on the goat, in the goats group, because they start saying things, well, didn't we do great things in your name? And Jesus says to them, you know, you didn't, when I had needs, you didn't meet my needs. You didn't feed me when I was hungry. And the other group, who are in the sheep, who Jesus has accepted, say, but when did we ever do anything for you? And Jesus says, whenever you did things like this for the least of people, you did them for me. And interestingly, on the day of judgment, Jesus doesn't give a theology test. He doesn't sit everyone down and test their Bible knowledge. He doesn't ask them about their faith. He talks about what they've done. Which takes us to James chapter 2, where James says, faith without deeds is dead. If our faith is alive, then it shows in our deeds by what we do, says James. Which takes us right back to Genesis 22 with Abraham, who was a man justified by faith. And that's described by what he actually did. Now, this is just the easy trip round the connections. Of course, if you want to spend longer doing it yourself at home, you can find a whole load more connections from Genesis 22 all the way around the Bible. So let's just have a look at the life of Abraham very briefly and a few things as a precursor to this passage. And this is what happens in Genesis 17. God says, I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. And then later in Genesis 21, God says to Abraham, it is through Isaac your offspring will be reckoned. God makes a promise to Abraham about his offspring, that he will have children, even though he and his wife were childless and old. And the promise is fulfilled, and Abraham and his wife Sarah have a son, Isaac. And then in the passage we're looking at, Genesis 22, God says to Abraham, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you. Now, at this point, Abraham might have been a bit confused. Our title is for tonight, When Life Doesn't Make Sense. Does this make sense? If you were in Abraham's position, what would you be thinking? God's made a promise, and he's provided already the answer, seemingly, and then he tells you to go away and do something that looks completely nuts. And it's interesting, got Abraham's response to God. No argument from Abraham at all. And no suggestion that, like Gideon, he started putting fleeces out and saying, you know, God, could you just confirm this to me? You know, if you do this, then I'll know that what you just said is correct. Nothing like that at all. No quibble at all. Even though this must have been one of the most difficult things to make sense of. And why might that have been? Possibly this. Abraham had known God for a long time, and he recognized God's voice when it spoke to him. When God spoke, by this time, Abraham knew it was God speaking. He had walked with them literally far enough, as well as long enough, to know God. And so the question for us is, how well do we know God's voice? If God says something to us, how sure are we that it's God who's speaking? Because when God says to us, do something that actually we might quite enjoy, generally speaking, we don't have a problem, do we? It's only when God says to us something that we might not be that keen on that all of a sudden we have doubts about whether or not it's God who's speaking. How well do we know God's voice? So you may ask, well, what actually happened then? What did Abraham do, seeing as he didn't quibble? Did he do what Jonah did and instantly started going in the opposite direction and taking his son with him? Well, this is what happened next. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." So was it that Abraham here was just lying to his servants because he was worried that they might try and stop him? Or was he confident that God would somehow solve the riddle, square the circle, do something that would mean that Isaac would not have to die? What was in Abraham's mind when he said that? And then if we read on, Abraham took the wood, we've just done, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, to Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. What at that point do you think was in Abraham's mind? Again, was he just telling a lie to Isaac? Or did he actually believe that? What was he thinking when God had actually said to him to sacrifice Isaac? What was he thinking when he said God would provide the lamb? Well, perhaps the passage I referred to before in Hebrews might help explain these things. Hebrews says this, "By faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, 'It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned.' Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. Interesting use of the word. Abraham reasoned. He thought about it, and that was his way out of the conundrum. He recognized that God, being God, could do anything. And if necessary, he could raise Isaac from the dead. When it comes to things that don't make sense, our title's When Life Doesn't Make Sense, but sometimes, like this, if perhaps we could say, even God doesn't seem to make sense. It could depend on where we're looking from. Depending on where you're looking from, you can get a very different view of circumstances. It can also depend on when we're looking from. When you look at one thing at one particular point in time and then look at it later, it might look different. And sometimes when life or God doesn't make sense, it might not actually be about us at all. A thing that God speaks to us about might actually not be about us. You know, the Old Testament looks very different after Jesus. The way we look at the Old Testament now, we look at in the light of Jesus and all that was written in the New Testament. And just like looking back on Genesis chapter 2, when you've got the benefit of Hebrews chapter 11, it looks an awfully lot different. Thing is as well, the whole Bibles will look different when Jesus returns. Then we'll be able to see a whole load more connections that we didn't see looking at it now. A lot of those things that looked like nothing, we'll also see are connected. Depends on where you're looking from and when you're looking from, how you see things. And sometimes an event you experience can one day enable you to help someone else. Sometimes it's not all about us. God can tell us to do something, not for our benefit, but for the benefit of someone else. And you can often read in stories and hear in people's testimonies how God told someone to go somewhere and they didn't understand why. And when they got there, they met someone. They needed to go and they need to do something, but it wasn't for their benefit. It was for the benefit of the other person. So what do we do when life, or even God, doesn't seem to make sense? Well, one thing we can do is look for connections. Sometimes things that aren't obviously connected can be. Sometimes what God says to us, he might have said something before that relates to it, but we might just not have remembered it at that point in time. And remember that one day something that seems unconnected at all might become connected. Sometimes it's a question of time. Remember for Abraham, he was promised a son, and he had a long wait before God provided a son in Isaac. What did he think during all of that period of time when he was waiting? Sometimes we have to wait when things don't seem to make sense. And remember, it might not all be about us. It's good to consider other people's perspectives and God's perspective on things. God takes a different view than we do. He sees the end from the beginning, and we don't have the benefit of that, which is why we require to have faith. Listening to God and knowing what he wants us to do is very important. We all know that. The thing is how do you go about doing it? Well, here's a couple of suggestions. The first one is shut up. If you were here this morning, Leslie Ann was illustrating this with the children. If other people are making a noise, it's difficult to hear someone speak. If God is speaking to us, it is difficult to hear him if we are talking all the time. We need to just sometimes shut up so that we can hear God's voice. And that's not always easy, is it? It's one thing to actually be silent. It's another to actually silence your thoughts. Our thoughts don't stop when our mouths do. Actually stopping our thoughts to allow God to enter and to speak is a lot more difficult. And the second thing is to focus attention on God. Often when life doesn't make sense, we're focusing on circumstances and not on God. When life doesn't make sense, it's because something's going on around us that we don't understand. And we're focused on what's going on rather than on listening to God about what's going on. Or we're focused on what's going on and telling God what he should be doing to fix what's going on. That's what we're very good at in prayers, isn't it? You know, we see the problem and we explain to God how to fix it. Because clearly if he knew how to fix it like we did, he would have already fixed it. We need to focus our attention on him and not on circumstances. Now I've got here, and these are all the messages, you know, get recorded and we put them on the website, and they go on the website now with the PowerPoint slides. So on the next thing I've got here are some ideas of things that might help you to listen to God better. So I don't expect you to memorize these website addresses, but you can look them up on the website a bit later this week when they're up. One of them is from the Northumbria community, from where I got the suggestions, shut up and focus attention on God. They have got a very good article on listening to God that you can go and read. And it might be listening to God in ways that you are not familiar with. So you might find that helpful. There's also two things at Acorn Christian Healing. One of them is a quiet day. They have regular quiet days there. So as the name implies, you can go and be quiet for the day. And for those who are really brave, in August this year, they will be having a silent retreat, which lasts either 4 or 5 days, I'm not quite sure which one it is. Now that might be a bit of a challenge, but of course it's a different experience doing a silent retreat, because you start to focus on other people initially and then focus on God. When you share a meal table in silence, you learn to focus on other people. Because if you don't, you won't get the salt passed when you want it, and neither will anyone else, because you don't ask for the salt. Someone else who's nearer the pot has to know that you are looking for it. It helps us to focus our attention. There are lots of other good resources that you can use for improving listening to God. But it's important that we take it seriously and we give time to doing it and that we learn how to do it better. God shouted Abraham twice to get his attention. God will get our attention if he needs it. If God wants our attention, he will get it ultimately. But the sooner we hear from God and act on what he says, the better it is for us, rather than to delay. Let's pray. Father, give us ears to hear what you have to say. Lord, let us be attentive to you. And Lord, we ask that you would be gracious to us and speak clearly so that we hear. And Lord, we pray that like Abraham, you would give us the faith to act on what you say. Lord, we want to walk in the way that you have set before us. We want to follow you as our guide. Give us clear instructions, Lord. Give us a willingness to sacrifice our ways for your ways. Give us the power of your Spirit to walk with you along the path. Lord, where we have doubts, Lord, then please shout louder so that we can hear. And Lord, where you ask us to do things which will help others, we pray especially, Lord, that we might be quick to hear and quick to respond. Lord, may our lives glorify the name of Jesus, because we ask it in his name. Amen.